Hello, can I be heard?
Yes.
Am I clear? Am I clear? Am I big?
Josiah's laughing. Yes, you are clear.
You remember that?
Yes.
That was what they call an epochal moment, or epical moment, you know, when he showed everybody that I'm not the little baby you all think that I am, and I can do it to Naomi. I really want to do it to you all, but I'll unleash Naomi. That was his day of stepping out. Let me hear somebody say something. Make sure I'm hearing well.
Something.
Okay, I'm not hearing well. Not good.
Did you hear Gary?
Okay, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, I just didn't think no one could hear me anymore. I'm sorry. My bad. Let's start. Father, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity and the privilege. Look into your word, to your goodness, and to see what you say about issues. And you speak about all issues. Thank you for it. We trust you. We realize, dear Lord, that by us trusting you, that is to our benefit, not to yours. We are what you said in the word, unprofitable servants. We don't make you better or worse, but you give us the opportunity by your grace and your power. You give us the opportunity to reflect your glory. It's a great privilege, and we thank you for it. Lord, we are dependents, and often we act as if we aren't. Often we act like things happen and want to turn us away from you on the job, in the home. Sometimes our bodies cause us to let our head hang down, our hands hang down, let our knees get feeble. And often we'll forget to look to you, which is an insult to you because of who you are and your greatness and your magnitude. Lord, we only have a short time to be here, and we know it. But while we're here, help us to bring glory and honor to your name. Help us to have our hearts set aright so that we can do and live exactly like you want us to live. Lord, as we lean and depend on you, and trust you. You look upon our bodies. You look upon our trials. Our eyes are on you. We want you to fight for us. You are the great shepherd. Help us, I pray, to see you in the scriptures. And let it make an impact on our lives, for how we live and conduct ourselves in this wicked and ungodly world. I pray this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. Amen. Tonight, if I'm not mistaken, this will be our next to the last time, at least for now, going through the review of the book of Hebrews. We did something a little differently last week, and I was able to test and see how it works when we all participated in a study, when each person was able to go and they prescribed the questions, or they were, in a sense, doing a review of a passage. And I got a lot of fruitful things from that because I experienced it. However, when I look in the Word of God, I realize that there are things that God allows us to learn didactically by reading, and there are things that He allows us to learn by experiencing it. We've talked about Jesus being the revelation of God throughout the book of Hebrews, and I will submit to you tonight, as I do something that you may not expect, but if you expect me to do something without the Word of God, you are mistaken. It will be word-centered. We're going to talk tonight about Jesus is being revealed as the Word of God for endurance. Jesus is revealed as the Word of God for endurance. He was the endurance that he needed for himself because he relied on the Father. He was full of the Spirit. I will submit to you that there were people that relied on him before he ever came in the form of flesh. Now let's look at this passage in Hebrews and let's consider two people tonight. We want to consider David, and we want to consider Jesus himself. Then we will be able to apply it to the Hebrew people at that particular time that was there when this letter was written. And with any wisdom that God has given us in learning and going through the scriptures, we should see how this applies to us. Jesus is the revelation of God's endurance, not only for us, not only for the people that were receiving this letter, but he also was the revelation of God's endurance before. But how was that manifest? Well, for some, God spoke in diverse manners and many portions throughout the Word, and he also came to people in visions and dreams. But by the time we get to David, we're already at a point when God had his written word, much of his written word already there, the foundations of it in the law of Moses for an individual to trust and see. And by trusting and seeing what was in God's word, they would begin to see God's faithfulness. And in seeing God's faithfulness, they would learn patience. And in learning patience and trusting God's faithfulness, God would be showing them endurance. That things are not based upon your schedule. They're based upon his schedule. But while you feel that you're enduring with him, he's enduring with you, and he's teaching you endurance. He's telling you many times, hold on, hold on. To David, hold on. David was anointed king as a lad, and his daddy didn't think enough to bring him in the house. When the prophet came, his daddy did not think enough to bring him in the house. What do you think about that? Imagine, if you would, the greatest man in the neighborhood coming. The man that has the ability by God's word to anoint somebody, and that individual become king, you would at least want to at least be in the house. You would at least want to feel that, wow, why wasn't I brought in? David is the man that we're talking about tonight. He was anointed to be king. And when he was anointed to be king, guess what happened? He looked no different than he did before. If you wanted to read about that, you'd read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm not going to read it. David was treated by Saul as if he were a criminal, whereas David had done righteous things, but Saul became wicked and he envied him. For years, David ran around being anointed to be king, but it wasn't time and he had to learn endurance. But how did he learn it? Through the word of God. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, born in a room, what we would call an inn. I mean, not an inn, a stable, because there was no room in the inn. Laid in a manger. Walked around like regular children. Had to be told what to do by a mom. Could not go and be about his father's work when he wanted to be about his father's work, and went to be subject according to Luke chapter 2. But he learned obedience, the scripture says, through the things that he suffered. And I will submit to you that he learned to endure the time frame, to despise the sin and the affliction and the unjust treatment. For the scripture says he was smitten. The scripture says he was not esteemed. There were people that wouldn't listen to him. There were people that would follow him for miracle. There were people that would call him one of the worst things ever. They would call him of Beelzebub. They would reject him for a wicked, ungodly, and many times it was an effeminate king, and the only king that they would take, and they said, was Caesar. He didn't look like God was going to come through for him. He did not look like he was the word of God. Everybody looked like was going against him. Everybody, they would gnash upon him with their teeth. Sometimes he would have to run and get away like David. He didn't look like he was born a king. He didn't look like he was God's anointed, but he was. But he's the revelation of God's endurance. He's the revelation of the word of God in endurance, not only for David, but it was also in the life that he lived. And with all of that being given, those Hebrew people, no matter what they went through, should have been able to get the strength. Listen to what the scripture says. I want us to get a little taste. You're not going over everything we went through before, because we have a point that we're going to make. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to pick up in the midst of verse 32. Well, I guess it would be best, for the sake of being on the same page with me, to pick up at the beginning of verse 32, but I want my emphasis to be on David. Hebrews 11, 32, the writer says, "What shall I more say? What a time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also." Very important that we do David. Now, if you notice, it says, "and David also, and Samuel." It goes backwards because David come after Samuel. And it says, "and of the prophets." So what we're going to have here, some things that happened with David happened with Samuel. But let's listen to what happened. "Who through faith subdued kingdom." David, through faith, subdued kingdoms. He killed the champion of the Philistines. He fought against the Philistines many times. He did things to the other nations for God's wisdom and God's word to be done. And yet he did some of these things when he was not even in the position in the eyes of man to be in charge, when he was beating down kingdoms. And as he became king, as he was acknowledged, God gave him this power. "Surely he wrought righteousness. He obtained promises." He was promised that he was going to be the king. He was promised that he would have a throne, because that's what the anointing was about. He must have been promised that God would deliver him because he would not deliver himself from Saul when he had the opportunity, because he was looking toward that word of God, that endurance that God gives, and that endurance that God gave that was revealed to him would not let him step outside of God's will and deliver himself. He wanted to wait on God so that God would elevate him in due time. Listen, and it says, and stop the mouths of lions. I know people know about Daniel, and there are a few that probably know about Samson. But have you ever heard of David telling King Saul, I was keeping my father's sheep, and a lion came up, and I took the lion by the beard, and I smote him. Stop the mouths of lions. Escape the edge of the sword. Somebody say, you didn't read Quench the Violence of Fire. I don't remember when David quenched the violence of fire. He may have, but I know he escaped the edge of the sword. Definitely, we're going to talk about javelin and war. In weakness was made strong. I was talking to my wife the other day when David said, God made my feet like hinds' feet. When I'm fighting, I can tell that I got a sense of balance that I don't usually have. He makes my feet like deer feet. Wax valiant in fight. In weakness was made strong. So much so that a bow of iron can be broken with his arms. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. And I'll stop right there on that part. Then I want to take us down. Somebody said, why did you stop? Because I'm making a point, and I can do that. I can do that. Just work with me. See, a lot of these things people had in common, and David had a lot of it. But I want you to listen to this part here in verse 37. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute. Somebody might say, I don't remember David wandering around in sheepskin and goatskin. That's true. But he was destitute. He was afflicted, tormented. And at that time in his life, the world was not worthy of such an one. But this was God's gift to Israel. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having providing some better thing for them, or for us, I'm sorry, that they without us should not be made perfect. David saw the Christ and believed on him. Surely if you don't believe that he saw the Christ and believed on him, you just need to bring back to your mind Psalms 110, Psalm 116, Psalms 2, and you would begin to see where God had shown him that he would have a son, and where God had spoken to him before and said, where he said, the Lord said to my Lord, and he heard it, he was privy to it, sit thou on my right hand, how long till I make your enemies thy footstool? The revealed word of God was the revealed word of God to show him how to have endurance. Because God is going to be faithful. We move to chapter 12, and we see that there's a great cloud of witnesses that were in chapter 11. And the writer tells these people, let's run with patience, because there's a race that's set. There's a race that's appointed. There's a race that's set for you. How do you do it? You look to Jesus. But when you look to Jesus, what do you see? What do you see? Did he have the joy right then of ruling when he was on the earth? Did he have the joy right then of every knee bowing, every tongue confessing? No. Did he have the joy of speaking and everything happened right then? No. At this particular time, he endured the cross. He's a revelation of God's endurance. He despised the shame, and now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now it says in verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. those writers of the Hebrew people that got this, when the one that wrote it to them, you can look back at David. He could have became weary and fainted. Saul was throwing javelins at him. Old stupid Nabal would have called him a fugitive and want to mistreat him. But then when we look at Jesus, he went through the same kind of thing. These Hebrew people, they were going through things because they were going to stand for God, and the Jews didn't like it. But what about us? What about on your job? When people know what you stand for, they see your limitations. They want to move you from your steadfastness. They want to tell you we can elevate you. We can build you up. We can promote you to great things, like it was told to Balaam. Can you look in your scripture? Can you see that David was had it revealed to him, the word of God for endurance? Can you see that Jesus was a living word of God and he has given to us for an example of endurance? Can you see that he trusted in the word of his father for endurance? So much so that when Satan came and said, look, you don't have to endure. You don't have to wait. If you bow down, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Jesus says, it is written. The word of God is for your endurance. It is written. You shall love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's the word of God. It's given to us for our endurance. It's revealed. It's not just revealed when you get to the New Testament. Don't cut God short like that. It's been revealed. And then when you look in chapter 13, that writer tells you this. He says in that 20th verse, 13 and 20 Hebrews, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. The word of God revealed that great shepherd is Jesus, who gave his life for the sheep through that precious blood, the blood of the God-man, God's own blood, make you perfect. Can you endure like he did? He didn't make you perfect until he died. He didn't make you perfect until he was raised from the dead and glorified. Bless God forever. Amen. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, through the living word, to whom be glory forever and ever. Do you really want to seek to glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever? You cannot fully enjoy him forever unless you're seeking his glory, not yours. Had David been seeking his own glory, he would have told Saul, I've been already anointed as king, and I'm supposed to be in this place. It has nothing you can do about it. Jesus could have told his mama, you know how I was born. Shut up and leave me alone. I don't need to be subject. God is my real daddy. But the revelation of God, this word, is to teach us to endure. Endure the weight, endure the shame, endure whatever God lets us come on us until he shows us how he wants us to come out. As long as you're doing right and you're not sure and you come out, then be grateful. But if you're going to step to wickedness and ungodliness, that's not what God revealed. Now, with all of that being said, the thrust of what I want to talk about in this message tonight will come from Psalms 36. In Psalms 36, this is a psalm of David. Listen to how it starts. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. while he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief. Let that sink in. He devises mischief upon his bed. He settleth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is to the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. David, I don't have to argue, can see this because he wrote this. Two, we know that we've gone through the gospel that this is what Jesus has experienced. Now we begin to look at the people that this letter was written to, the Hebrew people and whoever else would read this letter, and then look at us. How do we take this scripture and how do we see Jesus revealed to us as the word of God for endurance? Endurance. You see, in verse 1, if you walk with me, the transgression of the wicked, it's just like it's talking to him deep in his heart. There is no fear of God. So when David was going through what he was going through, Saul had lost the fear of God and was going to call himself, going to kill him and thrust him through with a javelin as if God did not see or if God did not care. They spit on Jesus. They beat him all night as if God did not see and as if God did not care. Now these people, Paul said, you have not resisted unto blood. Paul has said to these people that whatever comes your way, you look to Jesus. Look at what he went through. Because the word of God, before he became incarnate, after he became incarnate, was the revelation that God gave for endurance. So expect the wicked, expect those that don't fear God to always be willing to come against you. The transgression of the wicked says within my heart or within my heart. When you read ESV, it says deep in his heart, to kind of give you that this is a personification, that there is no fear of God before his eyes, no restraints that are given by God Almighty, who is blessed forever. Amen. Any restraint that this individual has is a restraint that he put upon himself. Then verse 2 says, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. This man has enough nerve to make himself good with flattering himself, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. I'm already good. This is what people would do. They'll say, I'm already good without God. They set up a standard for themselves, and they say, this is just the way that I am, and feel like there's a certain amount of nobility in their arrogance that others should look up to. And this iniquity that he has, it is so much so that he can't tell how much iniquity he has himself and hate himself for it. He feels good about himself. He flatters himself in his own eyes. Probably when he gets to in the mirror, he probably says to himself, how great thou art. How great thou art. I'm not going to sing the rest of it. But he probably sings that to himself one way or the other. Why is that? Because he can go for what he wants when he wants to and don't have to wait on the revealed word of God to give him endurance. He can be as impetuous as he wants to because he does not have a fear of God. So this man, he flatters himself, he feels good about himself, and then his iniquity, if it found out, he could hate it. But usually, it can't be found out by him to be something that he hates. Verse 3 said, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. The words that come out of his mouth are lawless. They're deceitful. He has left off to be wise and to do good. Why is that? Because his standard is in diametric opposition of God's standard. His words cause trouble. His word cause problems. He will not act wisely and do good. Why is that? Because he doesn't have God's revealed word in his life, showing him how to endure with this life until he gets to the place that God will exalt him. That's the key. That's the point of the endurance. That's the point of endurance, waiting on God. That's the point of endurance, putting up with what you put up with people until God brings you through, because in due time, he is the one to lift you up. Had David lifted himself up, he'd have been killed. Had Jesus lifted himself up without going through what God said to go through, he would not have been our Savior. Well, verse 4 says, he devises, now listen to this one. He devises mischief upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. This man is at full strength when you're not paying attention. When he should be resting, he's planning trouble. He's planning deceit for you. He puts himself in a way that's not good. He sets himself in a position where he don't hear God, he doesn't trust God, puts himself in the way of God's judgment. It is not good, and he's got that thing set where he can do these things for himself, and even if it means he's got to do it to you, he will do it. And the Bible says he does not abhor evil. By any means necessary, he'll do what he wants to. But David, seeing the word of God that is revealed to our endurance, that will exalt us in due time, he says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. God, in seeing and know how the wicked are, seeing how Saul was, seeing how those that followed Saul was, seeing how it would have been with the Philistines, Jesus seeing how it was with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, seeing how it was with the Herodians, seeing how it was when the people turned their back on him, he realizes, being the living word of God, I've got God's word. I'm going to hold on to his word for endurance. I am the living word. I've got the written word. I know what is written. And I'm tabernacle and the tent of the Lord. And according to what David says in Psalm 23, his joy was looking to be in the house of the Lord forever. He wanted to enjoy God fully forever. So in the midst of knowing these kind of enemies are there, knowing these kind of wretched people are there, he says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the cloud. Your righteousness is like great mountains, big mountains that just are like great landmarks. And he says, thy judgment are great. They are a great deep. Lord, you preserve man and beast. He says, Lord, your mercy, your judgment is of such, Lord, that whatever goes on, whatever happens, your judgments are right. Your judgment, like the mountains, they're not to be questioned. Lord, you are so merciful. You save man and beast. Man and beast. And when I look at him and not look at the other, when I look at him for endurance, when I look at his word as revealed so that I can hold on and be steadfast in his word till he lift me up, I say, how excellent is thy said your loving kindness, O God. How excellent is your loving kindness. How excellent is your loving kindness. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Your loving kindness is of such, Lord, that sinful men, men that have not told the mark, they come and they get under your wing, just like Ruth came and got under Boaz in a position of humility. But Lord, if we were to come to you in arrogance, we'd be judged. Come to trust in your mercy, the shadow of your wings. And the Bible says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. Should you endure? Should you hold on to God's word? Should you see God as he is? Truly, if you really see the word of God as being the thing that brings you comfort, gives you endurance, that you would hold on and trust in him until God does what he's going to do and allow him to elevate you and allow him to vindicate you, then the Bible says that the fatness, you will be filled with the fatness of his house. You will make them drink the rivers of thy pleasure. Think about the rivers that were going out of Eden. Think about those rivers that were the water. Think about your heart. It pumps blood through your veins just like pumping it down through rivers. Your fatness, your goodness is like pumping rivers of goodness and fatness to your people. Should I not wait on you? The Bible said Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. Look at where he is. To those Hebrew people that got that letter, they would look back and they could see everybody in Hebrews chapter 11 and see how they held on and they did not obtain the promise. David is one of those that were in there, but then they would have the one that stood out the most, Jesus, the blessed Christ. How is it any different? It's not. God, who spoke in divers manners, he spoke to the Father in time past in divers manners and in many ways. What he did is he showed them that they had to have endurance. Now you got the revelation of him being brought to earth, showing us, not just telling us, not just you can read it, you see it, that endurance must be, no matter what is set before you in your race, endure based on God's word, endure based on his standard, and let him elevate you in due time. That happens on your job. It happens in your family. It happens often with governments. But there are people that may not even get vindicated in this life. There are those that do. But the vindication takes place. Why do you say that? Because his loving kindness reaches the clouds. His mercy is in the heaven. He is the fountain of life. Then the scripture says in verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light. Lord, when you reveal to us truth, when you reveal to us your word, now we're able to see your word. Lord, when you give us the light of the scripture, now we're able to see the scriptures. Lord, when you give us the light of your word, now we're able to see your revealed word when he came here in flesh. Those that didn't see him before, according to John chapter 5, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. If you didn't see the light of Moses, you won't see my light. In thy light, we see light. When he's teaching us endurance, when we see in the scripture what happened to David, when we see in the scripture what happened to other people, when we see in the scripture what happened to his son, in his light, the revealed word of God for endurance, we see light. We can start seeing what was going on with the Hebrew people when they were losing home, when they were being made fun of, when they were being ostracized and criticized and ready to turn back. We can see when someone mistreated us, beating us out of stuff, doing things to us, lying on us, trying to hurt us and bring us down because we don't go along with the lifestyle that they have, when family members don't care. In his light, we should see light. Let's go forever. Amen. Verse 10, he says, oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Lord, continue. Let us see more light. Let us see more grace. Give us more of your favor so that we will endure and wait to the time that you would elevate us. Never let us elevate ourselves. Listen to what he says in verse number 11. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the foot of pride. Don't let the foot of pride of those other people that when they got their attitude and they way come and stop us, just like you didn't let them stop David, just like they wasn't able to stop your son to the place that they can override what that endurance was promising them, and don't let it come up in us ourselves. Let not ourselves become so proud that we would exalt ourselves before you're ready. That we would want to turn stones into bread. That we would want to jump off of the pinnacle of the temple. That we want to bow down and worship. That we would want to kill Saul while he's on the ground. That we would want to take his head off. No, no, no. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Don't let the foot of pride come against me from the evil. They don't fear you. They don't care about you. And let it not rise up in me, and that I would be stomping myself, tracking myself away from your precepts. The Bible says, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. No matter what they do, Lord, the writer is saying, don't let me just look at what they're doing so much that it removes me. I already know they hate you. I already know that they're wicked. I already know that they don't have your fear. Let me be one that has had your word revealed to me for endurance, that I won't be moved. And I listen to Jesus talk. Which of you can convict me of sin? Which of you? There wasn't a single one up. Even when he was on the cross, when God said he saved others himself, he cannot save. That didn't move him. It didn't move him. Because when the other man said, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you understand that it wasn't the fact that he couldn't have saved himself from the cross? Do you understand that he was the living word and he was showing the endurance that whatever I go through that God has set before me as a race, I will go through it. And then when he is ready, he will elevate me because I've shown the endurance of what it takes to accomplish the will of my Father. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. They are all workers of iniquity fallen. Evildoers, one that's lawless, they fall. They fall. And the writer said they are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Those that are evil and don't fear God, Don't have to worry about the endurance. Don't care whether God has revealed endurance through his word. Don't care one way or another. And they have elevated themselves. Their foot of pride has gone on. They've acted as if there is no God. They've lived by their own standard. They made their standard. They made their way righteous in their own eyes. They can flatter themselves. They can devise mischief in their bed. And they don't even hate evil. Those individuals elevate themselves, and those are the ones that are cast down. Why? The individual that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humble himself, we're talking about humbling himself to God's word, the revealed word of God that teaches endurance, will be exalted. But the evildoers, the workers of iniquity, they're cast down. They're not able to rise. Why? Because there's a God that has righteous judgment. And the righteous judgment of God will stand. They are looking for satisfaction and fatness and rivers of living water outside of God. God's judgment run very deep. He has the ability to save men and beasts, but they won't come to him. They don't want to see the light that God has given. To those people that received that letter in Hebrews, there was much comfort. Is how God operates. Will you be subject? Will you be subject to the word of God? Will you let that revealed word of God teach you endurance? So that God will elevate you in his time. Will we right now, 2016, will we look to God's word? Will we look at his son, the revealed word? And see his endurance personified and live like he said to he exalts us? Or will we lose it at the first trial? Will we lose it when it gets difficult? Don't let the foot of pride rise up in our hearts. Don't let the foot of pride rise up and remove us out of the way. For the foot of pride will cause one to die. To be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You'll never be able to rise. Book of Hebrews taught that, and I believe that is just as valid today as it was then. I've felt some of this in the last year. With my wife and things that we've experienced from people. I've known and I've heard some of the stories that many in our assembly have gone through. I heard a man say something one time, wicked people do wicked things because that's their job description. Psalms 37 says this, and we'll stop. Once we know that they'll be cast down and not be able to rise, in the 37th Psalm, David said, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thine heart. Submit thy way unto the Lord." Submit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. If we're trusting God's revealed word for endurance, then, no matter what the wicked do, we know they'll be cut down. Don't let them move us, cause us to have a pride of moving the way that we shouldn't. Their day will come. Our job is to trust in the word of God. And the Bible says, listen to the promise. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Learn to be like David. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Delight yourself in him. When you delight yourself in him, even in the midst of what we don't like, it didn't say you're to delight yourself in the situation. It says in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. The only way you can do it is commit your way unto him. What's the way? Whatever the word say, I'll endure until he lifts me up. Just like Jesus despised the cross, he endured it, and he endured the shame. And just like he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, then God exalted him. Trust in him, he'll bring it to pass. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light. In his light we see light. In his light will reflect light. And your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. Because the man that brings wicked devices when he's doing mischief. The man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Don't become one of them, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's a promise. It comes in God's own time. Will we look at his revelation of endurance, follow suit, or we look at his revelation and say, you know, I got tired. He didn't come through. We give up. And the writer of Hebrews said, if you turn back, his soul shall have no pleasure in him. The choice is ours. Will you commit your way to the Lord? If you don't, it will not happen accidentally. Do not commit your way to him until you trust in him. Trust in the revelation of his endurance, that which is written and that which was modeled by his son. We do these things, we're going to make a difference in this world. We're going to show that we're committed, and we're not going to be fretting about the evildoers trying to make us change. We might mention it, we might talk about it, but it's not with the attitude to go to. We should be walking in victory. We are children of God. And if I don't have nobody to say amen, I'll say amen myself. And with that, I'm going to stop. Father, I thank you for your blessed word. I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ as a picture of what true endurance is, a picture of how waiting and enduring whatever we have to go through to the time you elevate is so much worth it to receive what you have. Lord, I ask you to help us to continually look for light that we can see light. I ask you to help us to not let pride rise up in us. I ask you to look upon our assembly. Let us hide under the cover of your wing. Let us come there realizing, Lord, that there are areas that we still have to work on, there are areas that we're just not where we should be. We're not coming in arrogance. We're coming boldly, but we're also coming to get the yoke so that you'll be pleased with our life, pleased with how we conduct ourselves. Amen and amen, and even so, amen. We'll now stop, and if there's any discussion to be had, we can have it now.
Tim, I don't have anything to contribute, but I did enjoy the lesson very much. I thought it was very encouraging.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad you were able to enjoy it, because it might sound weird, but Dre, I was able to enjoy it too.
No, that doesn't sound weird.
Okay. Is there anyone else, or is that it for tonight? Well, I thank everybody for joining us. And if the Lord will, we'll go back and let's try to finish Hebrews on this Saturday. Grace and peace to everyone, and good night.
Good night.